That's the Mego Museum Podcast. Scott and Ryan each sold separately.
You can pull them, you can bend them, even have a tug of war. No matter how you stretch them, they keep coming back for more.
Hello and welcome to the Mego Museum Podcast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Scott.
And I'm sorry that it's been 3 months since we last sat down and did this.
I can't believe it's actually been 3 months.
No, me either.
We recorded that podcast in October, and then it's just like this like hyperspeed march through Halloween and Thanksgiving and Hanukkah and Christmas, and boom, here it is. We're ready to start 2012.
Exactly.
And but we're at least squeezing in one podcast before the end of the year.
Yeah, and you know, I was thinking about it today, Scott. I got about 8 years, and then my kids will be teenagers.
Mm.
And then I'll have all the time in the world to podcast. So,
right,
you know, I've got a plan for 2020.
That's right. Now, yeah. When your kids are teenagers, you'll be desperate for anybody to listen to you.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Well, I've got my 4-year-old is going to keep me busy for a while. But it's frankly nice, you know, having a 4-year-old, it's actually nice to get away and talk to any human being at all. So hi, Brian, you're my best friend.
How you doing, Scott? I won't call you daddy.
Okay, please. So we wanted to, I guess, do kind of like a little year-end wrap-up of things in the Mego world. And so you've been putting together your list of nominations for the 2011 Cubby Awards.
Yeah, the Cubby Awards, if you weren't with us last year, are the awards, and I'm happy we're able to actually hand out awards to more than one company for excellence in what we call Re-Mego. And we have a lot of candidates. This is a year chock full of great items from many different companies, and it's kind of exciting to live in a time when we do this. So the nominations are going to be posted on the museum this week, and then they're voted by you. So all the winners are chosen by the masses, and it should be interesting to see how it shakes.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start off with the favorite Re-Mego line of 2011.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to see how many we can choose from here.
Yes. I mean, you know, it should be said that the first one, of course, is Retro Action Superheroes. And this may, of course, be the last time that they are on the list of Cubby nominations.
Maybe not. Just to sidetrack it a little bit, there's been a little hint that Mattel might be bringing it back as a Maddie Collector line.
I was going to say there are some rumors afloat out there.
Yes. Now, it's all gossamer right now, but you know what? Let's keep an ear to the ground.
Yeah. Do you know the source of those rumors, or do you have any inside information, Mr. Mego Museum?
I do not.
Okay.
I have.
We are the last to know, frankly.
Well, the last time I talked to Paul Clark, he was like, "Hey, you owe me money," and so that's been the focus of our conversations.
Oh, okay. So you've been dodging Dr. Mego ever since.
Yeah, a little bit. I take my thumbs.
I saw Paul posted in response to it on the museum today. It sounds like he doesn't have any inside information too. But you know, it's the weirdest thing. I'm hesitant to admit this, but I actually this morning had a dream about new Retro Action Superheroes.
Which ones?
It was Riddler and Robin.
Oh. Cool. Those would be my two favorite.
Yeah, and they had, you know how it is in dreams. It's all, you know, hyper real, but it's like they were labeled Challenge of the Super Friends collection or something like that.
Cool.
So it's been a while since I've had toy related dreams. Mm-hmm. And but anyway, I know
it's been at least 6 days for me.
Yeah. But anyway, before we see what comes next year, going back to review last year. For while it was going, Retro Action Superheroes had some great material that came out this year.
Yeah, the fourth wave is really what came out in 2011, along with the Maddie exclusives. So you've got Darkseid, Martian Manhunter, Black Adam, Shazam, four Green Lantern exclusives, right? It was a four?
That's
Kyle,
right.
Kyle, John Stewart. So, it's, you know, we got eight figures this year. That's a pretty lofty number.
Sure.
I know that I was steadfast against Wave 4, buying them because I just figured I'd bought too much and I've been in superhero apathy. That is until I saw them on the shelves.
Yeah.
And I fell for them, especially Martian Manhunter with his green Tarzan-esque bodysuit. Totally floored me. I really liked the figure. So, you know, it's bittersweet. They're gone, but maybe they'll come out number one this year in the fan awards again.
Well, that could be. And then also we had some Retroaction Ghostbusters. Was this in reaction to the two-pack that came out at the end of the year? How much was offered for Ghostbusters this year?
I think it was just Janine, and I think the villain's name is Sam Hain.
Right.
Don't hold me to that.
Right.
I was like 16 years old when that cartoon came out, so, you know.
Yeah.
I don't retain any of it.
It's not in my wheelhouse at all.
No. Ghostbusters was a great movie I saw once.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. And, well, you know, and I still see those Ghostbusters on the shelves in Toys R Us.
Yeah, they never made it to Canada.
So is that right?
Yeah, we got the Heroes, but not the Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Well, the Heroes sold out real fast, but the Ghostbusters sort of hung around. Mm-hmm. But they do have their fans, and they're definitely attractive toys.
Yeah, I think they look good, but it's just, you know, if I bought them, my kids would be playing with them, because I think they've seen the cartoon more than I have.
Right.
So.
Right. So coming up after that, Doctor Who.
Yeah, I was a particular fan of this line, obviously, it's going to be a troublesome year for me because there's been two lines that I've been really appreciating. Doctor Who being probably edging out the MC Universal Monsters, but just barely. It's the perfect combination of Mego style to a show that was out in the Mego era.
Yeah,
and I don't know about the States, but in Canada, like I don't remember a time without Doctor Who. Like, I started on the third Doctor. I was probably five. And Tom Baker came out when I was about seven or eight, because Canada was a little delayed. And I went to the store looking for Doctor Who toys all the time. So
that's so sad.
Yeah, well, not so bad now. I've made up for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like the Doctor Who figures. I only got the Major and the Fourth Doctor. So far I passed on the Cyber Leader and the Master. Mm-hmm. But I love the packaging of them. I actually still have them in the package. I haven't taken them out yet. But it's a great presentation that Biff Bang Pow did. And I know we'll discuss I think packaging is a later nomination, but
sure.
Yeah, and excited to see the next waves of Doctor Who come out this year.
Very excited. I can't wait to see what they've got planned either.
Yeah, for sure. And people really seem to be eating up the Doctor Who. There's a lot of fans on the boards talking about it.
Seems to be overall positive, which is nice too.
Yeah, yeah. So next on the favorite Remigo line of 2011 list is Star Trek, mm-hmm. continuing to boldly go.
Finally.
Yes.
Captain Pike and the Salt Vampire got released. I mean, I had these on pre-order for a year.
Yeah.
And it just kept saying, well, maybe next month. Keep going. And then finally, we got our Pike and Salt Vampire. I know a lot of folks had some issues with Pike. He's a bit generic. The Salt Vampire to me was just killer.
No, the Pike. Well, there was the sort of bewildering choice that somebody made to paint his flesh, mm-hmm. To paint his face, and it just gives it a look that is unsettling for an Amigo collector. And yeah, the head seemed a little more cartoonish in a way. Compared to the other truck stuff.
Yeah, there's some detail lost on that. But I think for me, you know, I might still be in 1976 mode where I don't need more people.
Mm.
I like the aliens.
The aliens.
I think it's the opposite for a lot of collectors, however. I think that from what I've read, a lot of people were more into the Pike than the Salt Vampire.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I love the Salt Vampire. That was the very first Star Trek episode that I saw when I was a kid. And that thing freaked me out.
It's pretty creepy.
And it's very creepy. And it's a weird, disturbing Mego. in a really good way. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a great alien and looks great next to all of them. And you know, we've said it before a million times, but I'm so happy with what MC and Diamond did with the Star Trek line. You know, starting with the Khan figure from a few years ago.
Absolutely,
it's just really awesome aliens and figures. Mm-hmm. So good job, guys.
Yeah, that's been very appreciated.
Yeah.
And speaking of appreciation, the next one on the favorite Remigo this year is Lost.
Yay!
Something you're a mild fan of.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit, yes. Well, thank God the second wave made it to the shelves and into our hands. And I was really happy about them. I'm glad that they got made, and I think that you know, the line had its detractors, but they did a lot of interesting things with a difficult property, and yeah. So I don't know. I've said so much about Lost. I'm not sure what to say. What's your take on it?
I thought they were kind of neat. Not being, I stopped watching long before the end of it. But I do kind of appreciate the idea of having extra figures, especially as a customizer.
Yeah.
You know, I love the Dharma jumpsuits. I love stuff like that. I will be inclined to pick some of them up when I see them probably in person.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm not sure if the second wave is ever going to be the first wave is pretty heavily discounted at this point. You can pick them up pretty cheap. I'm not sure if the second wave is going to be that way because they only made 1,000 of them. Mm-hmm. I begged Biff Bang Pow to figure out a way to make more of those jumpsuits available.
Yeah.
You know, because tracking down multiple Sawyers and just for the jumpsuits and then figuring out a way to change the labels and blah, 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 blah. So,
I'm blessed with knowing the company that buys a lot of Diamond's returns.
Mm.
And I'm going to keep an eye on them when they set up at local shows. Because that's how I got most of my Lost figures, is I got them on damaged cards.
Right on.
And, you know, as soon as I see some of those, I'm going to pick up as many as I can.
Well, you know, just in relation to this best of situation, you know, I know up against Star Trek and superheroes and even Doctor Who, the Lost, you know, may not stand a chance. But, you know, I got to say that for whatever faults there were on the Lost line, I think Biff Bang Pow did a tremendous job with the clothing. And this relates to pretty much everything that they make, but the Lost, you know, the suit that came on the Jack figure in Wave 2 is like, I got to say, it's the best Mego business suit ever made. And there's been a lot of them, but it's beautifully detailed and beautifully tailored and fits really well on the muscle body. And that was a great figure, and the Sawyer in the jumpsuit was fantastic, and Saeed was really popular. And they've kind of converted me on the whole females with molded hair situation. I think I may be in the minority on that, but I thought that as far as like creating some good likenesses of a well-known actress, it was a smart choice to go with molded hair that you can really control, as opposed to doll hair, which, you know, is always going to be kind of like doll hair.
I agree with you, only on the basis, and this kind of segues into the next entry, Venture Brothers. I got the Dr. Girlfriend, and I think that was the first molded hair figure I got of a female.
Okay.
And it would be really hard to pull off her look with doll hair. You know what I mean? I think it because she has that Jackie Kennedy
right.
sort of bob cut. I was thrilled with the molded hair.
Yeah.
On her, you know, I can see it. You know, I think that I could see the Doctor Who Leela going with long doll hair because it suits the character.
Mm-hmm.
But those short bobs kind of hairdos kind of look better as molded.
Yeah. You know? Well, yeah. If you want to control the likeness. I think it's it may be the best. It really is the best way to go. It'll be interesting to see, you know, the Molotov character from Venture Brothers, yes, is going to have long molded hair that goes, you know, down her back. It worked pretty well on the Juliet and Eclair figures. And there's no question that it limits the mobility of, you know, for posing, you know, cause it's just, you do have this like stiff piece of plastic, which is kind of in the way, but, in any case, it's a, you know, it's an aesthetic choice and a practical decision that they made. And there you go.
We'll be debating it for years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, the rest of the Venture Brothers, though. Wow, what an exciting line of action figures.
I really liked this year because they got to my favorite character, which was Dr. Orpheus.
Yeah.
And they did Phantom Limb, a character that I'm kind of iffy on, but they did such a great execution that I think is fantastic.
Yeah.
And, of course, you got the other Venture Brother, you know, in Hank.
Right.
Or was it Dean?
It was Hank.
Hank. Okay.
Yeah, Hank came out with Dr. Girlfriend, and Dr. Orpheus and Phantom Limb were paired together.
Yeah.
The Phantom Limb is, you know, you talk about a really sort of an advance in Mego science. That clear body was something that got people really excited, especially for the customizing potential. A beautifully, beautifully done figure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I would love to get many of those clear bodies as I could, but, you know, I'll have to wait that out.
It doesn't seem like they're going to be made available, but we'll have to keep waiting for those clear bodies. Dr. Mego, I want that.
We're good whiners as a collective, I think.
Oh, yeah, we're great.
Self-included.
They love us.
Yeah.
They love us.
So, and then we go down the list. We've got Commander X, which is Jay Piscopo's comic book character. And bless him, he makes his own action figures, and he does variants, and he gets people excited. And he just, before the end of the year, released a new version of Commander X, and just going to look it up because I can't remember what this one's called. It's on the front page of the museum if anybody's looking. What's the variant? Night Avenger. And this is a more of a cape and cowl looking Commander X. So I'm very fond of the work and the effort being done in this comic. It's definitely a bit retro.
Totally.
But there's just a lot of creativity and cleverness to it as well. It's not completely hindered by that. And Jay's philosophy seems to be to make comics fun for kids again.
Uh-huh.
Which I'm very much behind because I'm not the biggest fan of the way things have been going in comics. I don't think I'm alone there either.
Right.
In the fact that I don't really want to see disembowelings in Green Lantern.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I got to, you know, I really admire the full commitment that they gave to this to the character and the line of action figures. It's been going on for a few years, and it's it's really well done. There's a lot of love and passion behind it,
and I think that's come back because a lot of people are very fond of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's got its own appreciation.
Right. And, you know, and it's another great example of what you can do with the Mego format. You know, in that here's a small press comic book that has the capability of, you know, making a professionally made really good-looking action figure to go with their property. With a very small, you know, commitment. So it's sort of like, you know, you're self-publishing comic books and you're self-publishing action figures, and it's a win-win for the users and the creators.
Yeah, it's all good. I really like it, and I hope that there's more of it. The next one, of course, being Biff Bang Pow's Twilight Zone, which has a huge following. It's a classic show, and I'm amazed at the mileage they've gotten out of this iconic show.
Mm.
They've created some really decent characters in this line.
Yeah. Yeah, and they show no signs of stopping.
No. I've had to look up a few of the characters. It's been a long time since I watched Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
But I used to watch it every day after school, so a lot of those characters stuck with me. But they're really mining it and getting some great ideas out of there.
Right, right.
I'm pretty excited, you know.
Yeah, and on the basis of bringing us, you know, not one but two brand new William Shatner inspired Mego figures. Mm-hmm. You know, we may have to do like a special honorary Cubby Award just for that.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, how cool was it to see William Shatner, you know, in the booth at Biff Bag Pow signing, you know, for that action figure, and it was a beautifully done set of figures.
Yeah, the head sculpt was actually done by my good buddy Sean Sansom.
Yay!
And who did the Mantooth figure as well? But it was really cool. Don Carter, Bob Wilson, Tupac. I'm so happy to see that sort of Mego versatility. That's like going back to the alter egos a bit.
Right.
Where it's, you know, same head, two sets of clothes. Beautiful stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fantastically done.
And then I guess rounding out the year, we had the Heroes in Action line, Presidential Monsters, which is a very kooky and fun idea that, you know, I've got a set. And I, you know, you sit there and look at them and go, I can't believe I'm holding this. Because you, like me, we know Mark, the president of Heroes in Action.
Yes.
And, you know, it just seemed like such a bizarre concept. And he had the wherewithal to take it right to the end and actually release these things. And they're really well done. They're wonderfully comical in their own way. And they're just a lot of fun. I mean, the packaging artwork is gorgeous. The outfits are insane. It's a really well done line.
Yeah, yeah. No, Mark absolutely took it and ran with it. And a lot of people, their first reaction was, what the heck and why? Yeah. Why do I want these? And you're doing what to Richard Nixon? And why? But he's even converted a few of those critics.
He certainly has. That was really amazing to see that turn around. But you know, I'm holding the Ron-Me right now, which is a Ronald Reagan mummy action figure. Totally bizarre.
Yeah.
But totally awesome.
Right.
Well done.
So, yeah, and hopefully there will be more. I think actually the biggest problem with the figures is getting your hands on them.
Mm-hmm. I think supply will change in 2012. I know there was a whole bunch of supply issues. I know his inventory got returned. Half of it got in, half of them got sent back to Hong Kong. He's not happy.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so, but, you know, and he's got lots of pre-orders, but he's really working on it, and, I think good things will come, especially because I finally got a set. So I think we're going to see some things turn around. And I know he's already working on Wave 2.
Right.
He's shown me some stuff, and it's just as wild as Wave 1, just as topical and very, very funny.
Well, certainly with, you know, the presidential election coming up this year, now is a great time to kick it in gear with those. And you know, I think they're great because I do think that they appeal to a wider variety of people than one might even expect. I think, you know, my experience at Comic-Con was seeing, you know, just a whole lot of people who didn't necessarily look like they would be, you know, they didn't look like any Mego geeks that I knew, but they were all over those presidential figures because they were just, you know, I mean, they're artistically incredible and very witty and just strange as hell. It's just like, if you're, you know, I'm a fan of odd and incredible things coming into being in the world. You know, it's like it doesn't necessarily need to exist, but I'm really glad that it does.
Yeah, yeah, I'm of that mind too. And this is just a fun idea. So.
Yeah, yeah, and I hope are we going to see the actual non-monster versions of the presidents, or
I'm really not sure. I know Lincoln is a definite.
Yeah,
and I know JFK is happening.
Right,
but I'm not sure we're ever going to get a Richard Nixon doll.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to. We're hoping to have Mark on a future podcast to talk about that and many more things. So look forward to that. But Yeah, so that's a, that it's amazing. I don't know how many years we are into this sort of this Remigo phenomenon, but that's a pretty decent lineup for 2011.
Mm-hmm. And 2012 actually looks like it'll improve that with the two announcements we had, obviously being $6 Million Man and Battlestar Galactica. So right. I'm curious to see what announcements we're going to get in 2012.
Right. Cool. All right. And so moving on, what's the next category in the cubbies?
Well, we move on in different categories. The first one is the best horror line of 2011. We're just breaking it down. And of course, we've had four entries this year. We've had Universal Monsters, which was knocked it out of the park this year. MC's Make Your Own Zombie Kit, which we failed to discuss, but we should. It's a very innovative item from the guys at MC. If you haven't seen it, I think it just came out recently. It's a $50 item. Comes with a DVD and all the parts to make three Mego-like zombies.
Yeah.
And I'm not a huge fan of zombies, but I really want this set.
Really?
No, the creativity of it is just—it's brilliant. And you know, I also figure that buying one is voting for more make-your-own MC kits.
Sure.
And you got to think the next genre they're going to tackle is superheroes. You got to hope. And I think that's great.
Superhero zombies, you mean?
No, just superheroes.
Oh, superhero make-your-own.
Make your own superhero kit.
Got it.
You know?
Got it. Well, you know, I need to grab one of those kits. There's actually a running joke in the Lost community that the seventh season of Lost was going to be the zombie season.
Oh, cool.
So, you know, if I really want to stick to my guns with this whole Lost thing, I really do need to make like a whole wave of Lost zombie action figures.
Yeah.
But
that's really cool.
Yeah.
And you'll be the only guy doing that.
Well, it won't be the first time. But yeah, the zombie kit dropped for Christmas, and several people were excited to get started working on it. So I'm sure we're going to see some really cool zombie stuff showing up on the custom boards at Mega Museum pretty soon.
Yeah.
Or I hope so, anyway.
Well, it's gotten rave reviews, so I'm imagining we're going to see some neat stuff soon.
Right. So the rest of the horror line is Night of the Living Dead.
Hmm. Which actually shouldn't be there because the figures haven't launched yet.
Oh.
I swore they had, but they're due in January. So I'm going to have to move that out of there.
Okay, well, that's my fault. I'm reading from old copy, apparently.
Yeah, no, but that's because I didn't. It's all mental notes.
Okay, well.
You have to read my line.
All right, then you're in charge for the rest of the podcast.
Got it. And then, of course, Presidential Monsters leads out the horror this year. Going on to that, we have Best Hero. And this list might change if you're listening to the podcast or reading the poll, which I'll probably launch on Wednesday. Right now, we've got it down to Doctor Who, Captain Pike, Jonas Venture Sr., the original, the very thinly veiled Doc Savage of the Venture Brother family, Captain Marvel, Shazam, Martian Manhunter, and Dr. Orpheus. There's probably somebody I need to add there, but I haven't quite thought of it yet. But that's a pretty tight race for Best Hero right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, we neglected to mention the Jonas Venture and Rusty 2-pack that came in the collectible metal lunchbox from Biff Bang Pow. Actually got to be one of my favorite toys of the year.
I forgot to buy one.
Did you?
Yeah.
I picked mine up at Comic-Con.
Oh wow.
I think they are still available online, but I didn't want to take any chances.
Yeah.
So I picked it up in person, and it sits proudly on my toy shelf right now. It's a beautiful, beautiful presentation. So I really admire the kind of creativity that Biff Bang Pow is showing and with some of that stuff. and as a tangent, the one of the things that I was told this year was that at one point they had considered making a Dharma Initiative lunchbox for the Lost Line.
Oh, too bad.
But it fell through.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
I know one little four-year-old that would have had to take in that to school every day.
All right, so what's next?
Oh, then we're flipping the spectrum. We have best villain. And right now, as of this writing, we've got a lot to choose from. We've got the Phantom Limb. We've got the Mummy. We've got Darkseid, who is the big bad of the DC Universe. Salt Vampire, although I guess you could kind of argue that he's a sympathetic character. Okay. The Ronmi, I threw that in there. Samhain from Ghostbusters. Dracula and the Cyber Leader. And, of course, Field Major Steyr and the Master. So there's a lot to choose from.
Wow. That's a long list.
We got a lot of bad guys this year.
That's right.
So that's and then actually, you know, I got to add Dr. Girlfriend as well.
Oh.
Wow. So that's going to be a toughie for me. And of course, we're going to show the runners up in all these as well. So, and then we move on to best likeness. And we've discussed some of these characters already, but we've got Bob Wilson, Don Kartner from Twilight Zone, which is, of course, based on William Shatner. It's our second Mego-esque Shatner figure in 40 years, and we're happy with it. Tom Baker from Doctor Who. Henry Bemis from The Twilight Zone, which was based, I believe, on Burgess Meredith.
Uh-huh.
Time enough at last. And The Mummy, MC Toys, which is a very striking Boris Karloff resemblance. We did include Dracula because I don't know if a lot of people know this, but the Dracula that MC made, the Universal doesn't have the likeness rights to Bela Lugosi. They have to be negotiated separately with Bela Lugosi Jr., who is a lawyer.
Right.
And he's very protective of his father's image. So in order to get a Dracula doll made, you have to get a license from Universal Studios. Then you have to get a second license from Bela Jr.
Uh-huh.
A lot of companies, and Diamond is one of them, opt out on this and just make kind of a generic Dracula. But toy companies have been doing this since the early 70s. I mean, the AHI Dracula is not Bela's face, you know. So it kind of feels right to do a generic 8-inch Dracula. You know, it's almost nostalgic because they haven't been doing Bela's likeness since Bela Jr. passed the bar exam. Who, by the way, I sound like I'm demonizing the guy. He's actually a really nice guy.
Right, right. Well, and you know, good for him for protecting his interests. I mean, that's totally reasonable given, you know, the long and sordid history of the merchandising business. So only four. I think I would go ahead and insist on a nomination for at least one of the lost cat figures.
Well, that was where I was leaving that for you.
As a likeness. Yeah, I would go with either Saeed. He seems to be a universally popular choice as far as a likeness. Although I actually think the Juliet figure is a really good likeness of Juliet Mitchell.
And she's in V. Right?
Or Elizabeth Mitchell. And she was in V.
Yeah, okay, that's where I knew her from. Yeah, and that's pretty good if I knew who she was. So. Her 8-inch counterpart. I actually wanted to buy one of those figures. So, yeah, we'll be adding some lost characters, and I'll probably go over a few things. You know, I'm not sure I want to include the Venture Brothers because they're not living people. But
that's reasonable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah.
And here's another kind of short-packed category, which is Best Accessories of 2011. The two I have right now are Doctor Who by Biff Bang Pow, because each figure had a goodie, and they didn't need to. Some of them didn't need to. You know, Field Major Steyr has a pistol and a communicator and a removable helmet.
Yeah.
Doctor has, of course, his sonic screwdriver. And then what's brilliant about the Cyber Leader is he comes with the Cyber Mat, which are their little pets that cause all kinds of havoc. And the Cyber Mat's actually just made another appearance on the current Doctor Who show.
Oh, cool.
Nice to see them. And then, of course, we've got Ghostbusters by Mattel, because those guys come with all kinds of crazy stuff. And I think this new two-pack came with the backdrop of the fire hall.
Right. So
a lot of folks might appreciate that. This might be another chance to add Lost. I think some of the Lost characters had some accessories.
Not you know, unfortunately, not as much as you would hope. Actually, Sawyer was the only one who came with an accessory, so I think Lost would miss the bar on the accessory mark.
Okay.
Although that could have been solved with just a couple of Dharma beer cans, but don't get me started.
Well, fortunately for you, they're easy to make.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, accessories are like the icing on the cake at this point. And they are, you know, it's an investment for these guys to you know, because every accessory that goes in there, it means more tooling and, you know, more time and expense. So.
But to be honest with you, coming from the 90s, I used to collect the Simpsons figures by Playmates in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere in this house, I still have a box of, like, TV converters and donuts and beer mugs
yep.
that I never used.
Yep.
And I actually used to think to myself, I wish they wouldn't come with anything. Then rather than just these, like, indiscriminate objects I will never display them with.
Right.
So, you know, I appreciate the accessories I get, but I don't necessarily always need an accessory.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, yes, the doctor has to come with a sonic screwdriver. It's
absolutely.
Silly if he doesn't.
Right.
But, he doesn't need to come with anything else, and he didn't. That's, right. You know, like the hat. They gave him a hat. I would have been okay with that, personally. But
right.
That's me. So, and then we're going to go down to what do you put the accessories in, but best packaging 2011. And we've got Retro Action Superheroes, Ghostbusters. Everything comes in a package, so everything can be, you know,
right.
on this list. Doctor Who, Star Trek, Lost, Commander X, Twilight Zone, Venture Brothers, Universal Monsters, Presidential Monsters. That's a tough one for me. I think the art on the Presidential Monsters is striking, as it is on the Universal Monster lines.
But sure.
I'm kinda monster biased.
Right.
So, you know. Somebody else might say, "Oh no, I love the Garcia. I think it's Garcia, the fellow who
the
does
Garcia Lopez.
Garcia Lopez,
yeah.
stock art on the Retro Action Superheroes.
It God, is nice I hope stuff. We got that right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I hope so too.
yeah, and it's interesting too because there's other things. There's so many different things you can that go into the packaging. I mean, I am a huge fan of you know, the painted character illustrations, both for the Presidential Monsters, which are incredible, as well as the Star Trek portraits by Mego art director Hal Schall,
mm-hmm.
Which are amazing, versus, like, the graphic design approach that you get with some of the Biff Bang Pow stuff. I think for Venture Brothers and Lost, the second wave of packaging was seemed like an improvement to me in the design and look. They changed the size of the card a little bit and stuff like that. But, you know, like the packaging on the Doctor Who, it's pretty much, you know, just has, you know, photographs of the dolls or whatever. But it's just really beautifully done. The graphic design is fantastic, you know. And so there's, you know, there's different approaches, you know. Plus, of course, then you've got the box that the William Shatner Twilight Zone guy came in. It was a nice deluxe presentation. And then the aforementioned Venture Brothers lunchbox was a fantastic packaging solution, actually. You know, Jason was saying that, you know, we don't actually have the rights to do a lunchbox, but we can put it in a metal box, and there you go.
Yeah, tote, they called it.
Yeah, a tote. Yes. That's right. So if you want to put a sandwich in it, that's your business. Mm-hmm. We won't tell anybody. But, yeah, so a lot of creative options. And then that amazing box presentation that they put the zombie kit in is really cool, too.
I got to admit, that thing's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, it displays really nicely. But
I just wish I liked zombies better. But you're right, and that is a tough one. And I've got a few things to add now. The make your own zombie being one of them, because it definitely is one of the more striking things. We didn't have a lot of duds this year in packaging,
right?
So
right.
And then going forward, we have what you're looking most forward to in 2012, and the hero figures starting off with Flash Gordon. Castaway, of course, is doing Buck Rogers. They've had a slow year this year, but – or no, they're not doing Buck Rogers. My apologies. They're doing Buster Crabbe as Flash Gordon next year, which is a classic Flash Gordon. A lot of people are looking forward to this. And then we have Leela from Doctor Who. This is one of the ones I'm really looking forward to. Brock and Sphinx Gear. Brock Sampson, of course, in the last season of Venture Brothers, joined Sphinx, which is a hilarious group that is, I guess, supposed to be emulating Cobra from G.I. Joe. If you're not, I don't know. Are you're a viewer of Venture Brothers?
I am, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And, of course, this is one we haven't talked about, but Diamond showed off an 8-inch figure of Dawn, a female comic character that I know nothing about.
That's right.
Except she has red hair. And that is going to be hopefully out next year. And I'm, you know, while I'm not a super fan of the comic character, it's neat to see another small press kind of character coming out in Mego form. And, you know, hopefully this opens the floodgates for all kinds of characters, like Vampirella and those kind of characters to come out, because I think there's a market for them in this format.
Absolutely.
So then flipping it over to villains you're most looking forward to in 2012, and I'm still working on this list, but we've got things like Sutek, the villain from the classic Tom Baker episode Pyramids of Mars, Dr. Henry Killinger, and Molotov from Venture Brothers. And I'll be fleshing this out a little bit. I'm going to add the Borg and those kind of characters, because these things slip my mind, and this is still a work in progress. I'm still on Christmas holiday time, so I'm very addled by a lot of food and drink right now.
Right.
So, and then of course we've got toy lines you're most looking forward to in 2012, and it's a brave new world next year. I mean, we've got some neat stuff coming out. We've got the Star Trek The Next Generation line, $6 Million Man, Battlestar Galactica. We don't know who, but we know that we're getting more Universal Monsters.
Wow.
Doctor Who, Venture Brothers, and Twilight Zone are going to be coming out next year as well. So it's pretty exciting. And, of course, some more presidential monsters. I've heard, and I really need to do more research, but I've heard that someone is buying the Zika Buck Rogers line as well. It may continue in 2012 as well.
Oh, that would be nice to see. That would be nice to see. Well, I'll have to get more information about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. You know, maybe the guy who runs the site should pay more attention.
Well, we do our best.
No, that was dig on me. I read it, and I should have read deeper, but
right.
I'm a skim reader.
Okay. So speaking of which, the guy who made the site, I got to call you and ask, like, why is it that Brick Mantooth and the Mego Museum Super Collector are nowhere to be seen on this list?
Yeah, I'm kind of humble that way, and you know, I think a lot of people like me, and I would hate it to the voting. I may put the Super Collector in Best Hero.
Yeah,
leave it at that. But no, I mean,
well, you know, it makes sense. I mean, I'm sort of teasing, but I just wanted to mention that because, you know, I think it makes sense, I guess, to sort of recuse ourselves from that question. Yeah. And you know, we've already gotten plenty of love from the community for those figures, and but it's I definitely think they belong on the list, if at least in spirit, yeah. Because I got to say, my favorite action figure of the year is the one that I helped make.
Well, the other part of it might be my incredible guilt for not having more Super Collectors available yet.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? This is the perfect forum to talk about this. Those little museums he comes with. Are a pain to make. We couldn't make them in China because it would have cost me
a fortune.
Yeah, I think about $3 each.
Yeesh.
You know, that just wasn't happening. This figure is not a very profitable exercise, just so everybody knows. I'm not, you know, things are selling okay, and I probably won't lose my shirt, but you know, there isn't a lot of money in it, just so everybody knows. So I had a kind soul my good friend Sean Sanson, who's also a toy sculptor, offer to make these out of resin. They're very time consuming to make out of resin. Add to it that he's an in-demand toy sculptor. Add to it that he's an in-demand makeup special effects man. And add to it that one of the biggest productions, movie productions, has hit Toronto this year, and he is in charge of doing all these creature effects for it.
Oh my goodness!
So it's, you know, this is a guy doing this pro bono out of the goodness of his heart, and he's super busy. So, you know, it'll happen when it happens, and I think that the next time I see him, I'm going to get another 100, 125 museums, and then I'll, you know, the store will be open again. But, you know, nobody think that, you know, you're not going to be able to get one. That's far, you know, it just seems like I'm building demand, but this is the way it's got to be, and
right.
I'm fine with it. I mean, I do feel bad that people keep asking me, and I keep saying, oh, this month maybe, or this month, but the fact of the matter is, it's a little bit of chaos right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's kind of a boutique action figure. There's just no way around it, you know. And we have a little bit of a waiting list, and we'll, you know, try to fill the orders as you can.
And one of the cool things that's happening right now is that I've got a few things on the go where we're going to – I think I announced on my site called the Mantooth Project, where I'm going to do different versions of Brick Mantooth in sort of a parody style. So he's going to be parodying other action figures.
Okay.
That's the concept.
Right.
And I've got some great friends helping me out with that. Then I've got we've got Steve Moore doing these crazy catalog fashions – For Brick
Mantooth, the man mates.
The man mates.
Yeah.
These things are just, they bring tears to my eyes. They're so brilliant.
It's super fun. I mean, the whole notion that there might somewhere in an alternate universe be a fashion doll called Brick Mantooth that comes with these little outfit packs that you can get. And, Steve's done a great job, and,
Teresa has done a wonderful job of putting together a few of her own. She's come out with these great shirts. I've got one on my desk that looks like a sky that the 60s Spider-Man would swing by, you know, like really funky and groovy. And it's just, I love this stuff. I love that this is happening. So there is lots of distraction in the Brick Mantooth super collector world.
Yeah.
And, you know, you and I have been going back and forth. I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. We're going to do a limited edition super collector on what would be a Kresge card.
Yeah.
Fairly shortly. We're just ironing out the details of that, so stay tuned for that as well. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways that, you know, and hey, frankly, we've got a lot of action figures we've got to figure out how to sell.
Yeah. I've got it in my garage, and it's a manageable pile, but you know, eventually my wife is going to go, what up with this?
Right. It's a lot of fun. So, you know, and hey, if anybody out there listening can think of a really hot variation of Brick or the Super Collector, let us know.
That concludes our reunited Mego Museum podcast. I hope we weren't too rusty. I promise that it won't be such a long gap before the next one. In fact, might even be as quick as a week. The one thing we'd like to reiterate is that please do go online to the museum forums and vote on the Cubby Awards, because we want as many people as possible to say what they liked and what they didn't like this year.
Yeah, that's right. And the voting is going to be open until what date, Brian?
I think if it's going to launch on Wednesday, I'll close it off on Saturday the 31st.
Okay.
And then the results will be posted the first week of January.
Great. All right. Well, that's something to look forward to in the new year. And like we said, it's been a great year to be a Mego fan. And it looks like 2012 is going to keep us busy and working. Busy and broke.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay. All right. Well, so until next time, it's been fun getting reacquainted with you. Brian.
It has been, Scott. It's been far too long, and we should let the audience know this is like the first time we've talked since the last podcast.
That's right.
It was rolling around my head. I wanted to maybe create some drama and go, this is our first podcast since the incident.
But frankly, we don't need any more drama in the media world.
Manufactured drama is still drama.
Amen to that. All right, so listen, it's been a pleasure. Happy New Year to you and your family.
Right back at you, man.
And to everybody out there in Migo world. Thanks for being with us, again on the podcast and for participating in the Migo Museum.
Absolutely. Thanks to everybody for their support this year, especially on this crazy venture and all the other weird stuff we've done. It's greatly appreciated.
Yeah. It's a pleasure to be in a community with so many great people. And so we will do our best to keep it going. All right, so until next time, this is Scott.
And this is Brian.
And we're saying collect them all.
We're nerds.
We're total nerds. It's terrible.
Go Museum Podcast. Brian and Scott sold separately.